Good morning, good morning, good morning, one and all. And it is time for Tech Talk, and we've got our phone lines open. It is an interactive program. Yes, you can participate. And our phone line is a toll-free call, 1-800-749-5936. We have Charles Miller, Charles Mall. So, Charles and Charles, take it away.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, we always have a lot to talk about. Our world just kind of continues.
It does.
It's this continuum of something.
Yeah. I had a couple customers call in this last week with good questions that pertain primarily to your side of the spectrum. You know, going into how do I increase my Wi-Fi with bandwidth at home? You know, and it seems like one of them was asking me the question, you know, and mine does the same thing at home, but you'll get days where you don't get any signal and you could be sitting right next to the router. And it's, unless you turn it completely off and reboot the router, you have a terrible signal.
Well, there's multiple things going on a home network. And one of the ones that I've run into quite a bit is all of a sudden, you know, I have this little tool called NetSpot. And It basically lets you find out all your spots where you have good signal, bad signal. So it kind of makes a little map, you know, of your environment. But what I've noticed is there's so many Wi-Fi signals now coming from your neighbors. You know, so all of a sudden when you pull up the map, it's got like half a dozen different Wi-Fis coming from neighbors, you know, because some of them will have some really strong
powerful
routers,
yeah,
you know, that are transmitting, you know, lots of bandwidth. And then others, there's barely making it. But the challenge is really not the fact that there's so many. It's the fact that they're using the same channel. Mm. You know, like when you go to your router, you can look at the channel itself and say, like, why are they all using channel 11? Or, you know, well, you know, they step on each other that way. So if you actually go up or down, you can get around those things.
So by changing the channel, you can actually increase your
bandwidth,
capabilities.
Because you know, when you share the same frequency in the same channel, they're all sharing the same space, and you're not going to, you know, you're just going to run into issues.
Yeah, because I noticed, you know, I have somebody had talked me into getting one of these little extenders,
mm-hmm.
and it's a small type extender that supposedly, you know, I can get on my regular router, and my system will run really slow. But if I put it on that extender, it goes much faster. And I don't know why that is, but it does work. It actually increases your bandwidth and makes it a little faster. So, but I move it around. Like if I'm going to be on my porch in the back, I go plug it in the kitchen, you know, where I can get it outside in the back of my house. But you have to move this thing around all the time because the bandwidth is so terrible in certain places.
I've noticed, like, I was in this place this last week setting up a Wi-Fi mesh. And I went all around the place and found good signal everywhere. All of a sudden, I come through this one doorway, and it's just like the signal just goes away.
Yeah. Huh.
I said, okay, well, you know, why so sudden, you know? And so I come in there and says, well, what do you have in here that's actually broadcasting RF or, you know, or can be interfering with the signal? And so we just started turning stuff off, and the signal came back after the last device we turned off was one of those little vacuum cleaner, you know, the...
Yeah, robos.
Yeah, sure enough. And it was broadcasting all kinds of stuff in that particular room, and it was just making the signal horrible.
Huh.
So got it out. I said, well, just turn that thing off, you know, if you're not using it, and at least have a decent signal, and sure enough.
See, and not all those Roombas or, you know, robot vacuum cleaners are Wi-Fi capable.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them are not.
Uh-huh.
So the ones that are, yeah, they're going to step on signal. And I wonder if that happens when they're in every room they would travel through would probably be affected.
I would imagine, because, you know, it's broadcasting.
Yeah.
You know, the Wi-Fi devices, you know, they have a transmitter and they have a receiver. Well, those transmitters can be pretty powerful.
Yeah, on the spectrum of electronics, when you start looking into how these things work, these robot vacuum cleaners, you know, they have sensors. They have several sensors. They have sensors that are what we call cliff sensors that can tell if it comes up to the edge of a step and can tell if it's going to fall off the step or not. It sends a light beam down, and if the beam just all of a sudden expands, it knows there's something, an obstacle there. Then it has a Bluetooth type signal that's coming off of it as well, off the very front of the device. And that Bluetooth device connects to the receiver that's on your charging station. And so it'll find its way to its charging station by that. But then the Wi-Fi part of it connects so that you can set up your house in zones. You can literally tell it, I want you to vacuum here today, but not over here. You can set it up on your phone and tell it where you want it to go. So it does use a lot of bandwidth. I imagine it's got to use quite a bit when it's in operation.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. They're pretty smart technology. I mean, they've got all kinds of sensors, optical sensors and all kinds of different things. So, you know, I've worked on those for years. And one of them that I just recently repaired for a lady was having a problem where it wouldn't connect to her Wi-Fi. And come to find out, she had her husband did a lot of metal filing in his workspace in the garage. And this one went out. He put it on the garage floor to get all that dust up. And it got little metal shavings on the board. And those little metal shavings were actually shorting out the board. So it was having problems reaching Wi-Fi. They were all the magnetic part of it, which is up all by your coils, it was attaching itself to the coils. And so then she was having all these issues. And so we cleaned that thing off, got all those metal filings out of there, and it's running great now. So, you know, those technology has its limits. You got to be really careful with some of that.
We do have a call on the line. Hi, welcome. You're on Tech Talk. You're on the air with Charles and Charles. Your question, please.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you figured out whether or not 5 gigahertz or 2.4 gigahertz is better for older houses, like ones with plaster and lath and chicken wire in the walls?
Mm-hmm. Well, in general, the difference between the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz, the 5 gigahertz has a really good signal when you're close by, but the 2.4 has more of a range, you know, if you're going to go far away. So it really depends on the layout of your house, because every house has its own issues. Like, for example, if you had a fireplace, you want to work around that.
Yeah.
And that's why, like those extenders you were talking about, that's kind of the old school way of doing stuff. The new is using a mesh network, you know, so the mesh can work around devices. Like I've had freezers, for example, all of a sudden they just totally block the Wi-Fi signal from one room to the other.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to know.
Yeah, because, I mean, people could have refrigerators. They have so many features now that there's no telling what's broadcasting out there these days. That's why I use my little gadget.
Is there any chance that some of these things are spying on you?
Oh, they can. I mean, the technology is there.
Did we lose our caller?
Yeah,
did we get his question answered there?
I hope so.
Hopefully.
I think going from the 2G, you know, because I've got a, that's a good question he was asking. You know, if you don't understand how the 2G works, the 5G and all that information that's coming out with all these different devices. I have a garage door opener that is one of these ones that will not program unless it's a 2.5 gigahertz signal. If it's too much, it won't connect. Or if it's too little, it won't connect. So it's got to be right on in order for that to be programmed. Once it's programmed, it seems to operate fine in whatever environment, but to program it, it has to be 2.5.
Yeah, because you can set those up. Like when you set up the Wi-Fi on your router, it'll give you the options, the 2.4 or the 5. And the ones I use actually will combine them, so you can't even tell which you're using. It's just going to use the best signal it can get.
Sure.
So, you know, they're getting pretty fancy with it. But like I was saying, the new stuff is really mesh-oriented, which basically means instead of having a hard-wired connection to your wireless access point, you can basically kind of bridge it with other access points that don't have any connection at all. Like, that's how I do a lot of houses. Like the guy that just questioned a little bit ago, that's probably what I would do, is I would set up a mesh, because you can kind of experiment, because you can move those things around because they're not hardwired. You just put them where you have kind of dead spots.
Right.
And then you can kind of boomerang around fireplaces and known, you know, devices that can block it, like solid walls. I've had to deal with rock walls before. Ooh. You know, where all of a sudden you have to have lots of access points.
Very good. Gentlemen, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to be back with more of our Tech Talk program. And remember, you can always call in at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this one-minute timeout.
Ernest Heat and Air says, don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Have your air conditioner serviced or replaced with a new high-efficiency air conditioner. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057 to have your AC checked. That's Ernest Heat and Air, 918-335-3057, 709 Northeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Check their website at ErnestHeatandAir.com.
We want you to sound off every single morning for our Maple Street Meat Market poll question of the day. Tune to KRIG 104.9 each and every weekday morning, and you'll hear our Maple Street Meat Market poll question. Give us a ring at 918-336-1400 or visit our K1, KYFM, KRIG, and KPGM Facebook to vote. Vote every day, thanks to Coffeyville's own Maple Street Meat Markets.
Good morning and welcome to Tech Talk. And we do have our phone lines open here today somewhat because we got calls coming in at 1-800-749-5936 with Charles Miller, Charles Mall. And let's go to the line number six. Hi, good morning. You're on Tech Talk. Your question.
Yes, I've got a problem that showed up yesterday. When I go into email, when I click on email to open it up, I have something that pops up. It says, looks like your ad blocker is on. Please consider supporting us with one of the following options. Go ad-free, unblock the ads, or dismiss and take me to basic mail. But I can't get rid of that, and it won't let me open anything. Any suggestions on that?
Well, you basically just need to kind of stop that, whatever loaded in that email, because something tried to run, or I guess it did run because it popped up a message, because that can be either a pop-up message, it could be something embedded in the email, but, you know, worst case, if you just can't get to it at all, when you do a Control-Alt-Delete on a Windows machine, it gives you a task manager where you can pick out the specific thing that's running. You can see it at the top of the list, and just highlight it and just say end task, and that'll stop that.
Your email.
So Control-Alt-Delete. Did you get that, caller?
You might give that a whirl. Are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, and if you...
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that are always trying to load, so you have to be careful of those things and just not let it take over your machine, because that's how a lot of programs will take over your computer.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. So be aware.
Yeah, that's one of those things that your task manager is really, anything that's operating on your screen at the time comes up in the task manager. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and find out where that's coming from. Can you actually see where it's coming from? Does it give you
it tells you what the program's called, you know, the executable itself, you know, so.
It says HTTPS mail yahoo.com.
Well, that's just a mail. That's your actual mail, you know, your email itself. You could kill that, you know, just end that task, because you can always pull that back up. That's your browser itself. Because when you use the browser for your email, you really have to kind of be careful with that, because browsers allow you to run scripts.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that can execute just by pulling up an email message. Like, even just to display it is enough to start something. Because, you know, it's trying to read that particular email, and while it's reading it, it could be an executable.
Yeah.
Something's executing something inside your browser. And then when it gets planted in there, then you have to kind of figure out how to get it out.
Okay, go into task manager then.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And just end that task and then make another run at it and just avoid that email, since you know what it's trying to do. It's trying to load stuff. Because once things get loaded, it seems like it gets, one of them seems like they invite their buddies in, and you end up with a bunch of stuff in your browser, and you wonder, well, how did that get loaded?
Yeah. Now, Martin was saying, you know, he communicates with me sometimes through our devices, but he was just saying turn off JavaScript in settings. Mm-hmm. So if you have JavaScript running, you might want to turn that off in settings. So
yeah,
that's another good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. I tell you, that is just aggravating when you get something that just seems to want to seize your machine. And it's an innocuous email. It may even look like it's from someone or something that with which you have familiarity. And then, I just got it. You know. Bam.
Well, what's kind of confusing and even more is with the new, like with Windows 10, it has that notification at the bottom right. And the notifications are like pop-ups, because I have a lot of people.
They just pop up all the time.
They just pop up all, you know, every time you get an email. But then those are settings, so you have to go to your individual applications and turn those off, because it's not just one setting. It says, you know.
You know, and I always tell myself I'm going to do that, because they're annoying. You'll be working on something and they're popping up all the time down at the bottom of the screen, but I'll be so busy in whatever I'm doing. It's like, man, I just can't find the time to go shut these stupid things off. But I get that all the time, you know, and it is annoying, you know.
Yeah.
And I can understand where people get frustrated with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially when something new comes in. Well, you know, you haven't seen it before. Okay, is this significant or is it good? Is it bad? You don't know. Because I get a lot of calls. Says, well, I got this thing that popped up. What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, what does it say? You know. And
well, a good example of that, and it's always a frustrating time, is last night, you know, I was doing some work around my shop and I about cut my finger off. And had my whole bone was sticking out of here on the end. So I was like, what am I going to do here? So I was trying to Google something to see what the first steps are, you know, because without running to the emergency room where you're going to be encountering everybody, I'm thinking, what do I want to do here? So I'm sitting there trying to figure out what I'm going to do to put my finger, end of my finger back on. And every time I kept hitting this one button with my other hand, it kept popping up these pop-ups on the bottom. And I'm going, get out of the way. I'm trying to figure something out. And finally, you know, it's the frustration got its best on me because I was losing a lot of blood and I was really not feeling good. So I picked up my little Apple Watch and said, hey, Siri, call wife mobile. So she gets on there and she says, and she's out of town, you know, so she was like, how am I going to help you? I said, well, what do I need to do? She says, I'm calling your son right now. So she immediately calls my son, and my son's up there in just a little bit. And he's like, Dad, sit down. So he's got his little toolkit out, and they go to work on trying to fix me up. But it was just kind of funny, you know. You get frustrated because I was so at that point. I was like, I'm sick and tired of Windows. I have this all these messages and things coming up, and I'm trying to save my life here, you know. So, anyways, we got my finger back on, and it's working good. But yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of brutal.
Yeah, I learned a little thing, you know. I'm the computer, the electronics guy, and I'm working with my fingers all the time, and I play the piano, so I really try to take good care of my fingers.
Yeah.
But last night I had a situation with bees, and they were just irritating me. They were up in my tree, up in my my house. We've got this old house, you know, so it was up in this stone thing, and it found a little crack in there, and they've been trying to go into this thing. I got to get up there and fix it, but I got to get a lift. But anyways, I'm trying to put this can of spray on the end of this pole so I can stick it up there, and it's one of those tree trimming poles. And it's got a lever when you pull this rope, you know, that cuts the tree. But it pulls down this little lever. And I thought if I could tape that can to it, it'll pull down on the button of the can and shoot that stuff from way up in a distance. And it worked great the first couple times I did it. So I tried to put that can on last night, and somehow my finger slipped and went right through that blade all the way across it. So, you know, and then I had to deal with Windows. So, you know, what more can you ask for in a night when you cut your finger off and you can't get through your Windows? So,
voice activation was good.
Well, I got to tell you, good thing. Thank God for technology, because sometimes we don't think about all the things that are life-saving. I've got this watch that you don't have to even touch it. You just raise it up and say, you know, hey, Siri, call somebody, you know, and it'll immediately call. Because when I just said about, hey, Siri, call wife, it immediately tried to call my wife while we were sitting here. But it just does that. So in an emergency situation, I wrecked a motorcycle one time, hit a deer. And I just rolled over on my side and called 911 from the watch. You can do that without having to do anything. And I thought I was going to end up in the hospital there for a long time, too, but I just had some messed up ribs, just a little bit of stuff. But anyways, technology is so helpful. Thank God for it, right?
That's why it's good to know how to use that stuff. Yeah, it's very useful.
And it's handy to have with you.
If Charles is working, give him plenty of room.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Don't give him a saw. That's what my son said to me. That's what my son said to me yesterday. He goes, "Don't you just do electronics? Why don't you just stay away from saws altogether?" Like, I've got a shop full of saws, but yeah, it was just one of those freak accidents that you just didn't really think about. But yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I'm still alive. So back to our conversation.
And then,
And then another question a customer called in about, maybe you can elaborate on this and help us, Charles. They've got a daughter that's going to college that's going to be studying architectural design and so forth. So needing a computer that's the speed is capable of handling, you know, design and stuff like that. What do you recommend in a laptop that would be...
I've had a couple of people ask me recommendations for their high school graduate, you know, getting ready to go to college.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they need something that's going to last a while. And first of all, I just ask a few questions about, you know, what they're going to do with it and how they're going to use it. And so the one that I ended up recommending, because this person was going to go into graphics design and stuff like that, I said, get one of those Apple AirBooks. You know, they're small, they're portable. And the new 10th generation Intel chip, it's quite good. I mean, it's really zippy compared to the previous one. So,
I've heard several say Apple was the way to go with those AirBooks.
Yeah. They work well, they're real skinny. You know, they're super small. But for school, it's nice because, you know, you're carrying it everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but if you're one of those students that it just stays planted in the dorm room or where have you, then you really don't need the mobility. It'll save you a lot of money not to be mobile.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those things are about $1,000.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive. I know that.
Yeah, if you're going to get a good one, get a good, decent machine, yeah, you'll spend
$1,000. Well, so many of them claim that they're high processing speeds, you know, that really aren't. So it's always wise to, I mean, you know, ask the right people who deal with computers on that.
Yeah, like, for example, if you need something that needs good graphics performance, that Apple is very good. But if you're looking at a way of kind of measuring the processor, because when you look at the specs on a laptop or a desktop, whatever it is, look at the processor and see what kind of processor it has. And it may not mean anything. It'll say like i5-4250 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, what you do, you take that and just go to Google, put in i5-4250, and then usually the second item, first one, it'll tell you the specs for the chip. The second one, it says CPU benchmarks. And when you go to CPU benchmarks, it gives you a number. Like, for example, I replaced a couple of machines here a couple of weeks ago. The number was less than 800, which is nothing. Like on my desktop, you know, I have a Z420 machine that its index was 960, or about 9,600.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a decent machine. I mean, I use the Adobe Suite. You know, it's got some serious horsepower to it. But just look at that number and shoot for something that's reasonable so that you don't get an underpowered machine, because the worst-case scenario, you get something that just does not have the oomph to run the programs that you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on the Intel side, I would go with at least an i5. And if you can go to the, you know, the 10th generation chip, you'd be right uptown. You know, the 8th generation chip is probably the oldest you want to go, because everything is kind of designed for the new stuff now.
Yeah.
So, but it's a quick way to check that.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Tech Talk here after this one-minute timeout.
News Radio K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
The one you trust. Hi, Link Gocher here with Bartlesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. If you've driven by our dealership lately, you may have noticed we're stocked up with new and used inventory. Through the past few weeks, we've been safely serving our customers in the Bartlesville area by delivering cars to them, cleaning the cars for test drives, and maintaining separation amongst customers and employees. As I've been saying, if you're in the market for a new car, truck, SUV, the deals have never been greater. Currently, we have over five new vehicles under $350 a month, including Jeep Cherokee, Compass, Dodge Grand Caravan for your family's summer road trip. In addition, Chrysler Capital is offering 0% financing for 72 months with no payments for 120 days. Sales or service, that's BartlesvilleCDJ.com under new management. And as always, you pick it out, we'll work it out.
0% financing for 72 months on select vehicles.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
Good morning and welcome aboard. It's time to get back to more of our Tech Talk program, and we have a call on the line. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
Well, you were talking about Wi-Fi and routers a little earlier, and I have noticed I've got a Wi-Fi analyzer program, and I've noticed that there is one other router that tends to track me. And it's a roughly the same signal magnitude, but anytime I change my channel within a few seconds, it's right there on top of me. And I was trying to figure out if that's a problem or what in the world's going on there.
Well, if it's a fairly new router, it could be that it's putting that like the IoT or, you know, because you've got the two frequencies, mm-hmm. you know, and those are your main, you know, Wi-Fi that you're going to connect to, but there's also an IoT, which is an Internet of Things, and it's kind of a general purpose Wi-Fi that doesn't let anything look. It's kind of like a guest account, and
okay.
It could be actually pulling that up, and then, you know, because as soon as you open up your regular Wi-Fi, it assigns one to this IoT, and you never even configure it. I think there's a way to turn it off, but you don't turn it on. As such, it just automatically gets there. So it could be coming in and you know, just activating itself. Is it a fairly new router?
Would that be an issue on my router as far as, you know, causing problems or blanketing me?
No, because it's basically running a totally independent of your regular channel, because it's more like a secure channel. It doesn't allow things to go back and forth like your regular Wi-Fi does. It just basically gives you, like, for example, where I see that used a lot is like in smart TVs and things like that need a connection, but they don't have to have all the bells and whistles that your normal Wi-Fi does. So you see that, I've seen that pop up quite a bit myself, just automatically, you know, so.
Okay, well, it was beginning to bug me because it was like, who in the world is this and how are they finding my signal all the time? It was like, you know, is somebody piggybacking on me or what, you know?
No, so. It's probably just the router itself. Is it fairly new? Fairly new router?
Actually, it's probably, I'm guessing, 5 years old at least. I'm preparing to put a new one on here within the next couple of days.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have it. It hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, because if it's probably 5 years old, it's probably not that, you know, because I don't think they started doing that. And it's probably the last year or two. So it may be some other, like I say, if you have the 2.4 and the 5, if you can distinguish them, you know, and turn one off and on, you can see if that goes away. Because it could be that, you know, when you activate one, it activates both frequencies.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't know if this has 5 gig capability at all. It's 2.4. I don't know, maybe it does, and I don't realize it.
Yeah, it's been around a while, so I'd be surprised if it didn't.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call. We're running dear on time. Charles Mall, where can we find you?
ITVillage.1.
And NBR Electronics, 510 South Keeler, and we'll take care of your electronics needs.
All righty. All fingers.
All fingers.
Take care of them.
Yeah.
Charles, thank you very much for joining us for Tech Talk. And we've got CBS News coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll catch you next week.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K22.